Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rocking and rolling here, taking a walk on that wild side on this fourth and final hour. Mike Dettillier will join us momentarily for the entire hour, counting you down to Saints training camp. You want to jump on a line with Mike Dettillier, you got a question for him, call me at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Talk about a variety of things coming up with the Saints in training camp. Just 2 weeks away. Huh. Cannot wait, honestly. Like, I'll just keep it real with you guys. So, I know we're all football crazed. There is a certain part of the season where you go, all right, you know, that was fun. Let me go enjoy life outside of football for about a month or two. And then you get to the draft, and then you go, man, now we're talking real football again. So it's just enough for preview. And then there's just this long break. The mini camp you have, the OTAs. But training camp's entirely different. When training camp opens, you know you are a few short weeks away from seeing football. Tackle football with pads. Mike Dettillier, NFL analyst, joining us now. Mike, I know it's 2 weeks away, but I'm very much looking forward to training camp, in particular for a team that has really high, lofty expectations, and deservedly so, considering what they did last year as a team, 11-5, making it to the divisional round of the playoffs. Where do you size them up right now in the pecking order of the NFC?
And listen, you got dissent. I mean, yeah. You're one of these teams. You got the smell of, you know, being the big dog. And so right now, you just sort of jumbled up. The champs are the champs until they're not anymore. And so, you know, listen, the Eagles are a really good football team, and they won it all last year. The Vikings are a really good football team. I think the Packers are going to be a well kind of click up from a year ago because they got a healthy Aaron Rodgers and bring in Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson. So they're going to be a good football team. You play in the toughest division when you look at it in the NFC South. And right now, if you had to pick one team, say, if you say the best record, I think it comes out of the West. It'll be the Rams because of the fact, I think, you don't know what you're going to get out of Arizona and what's going to happen at the most critical position on the field at quarterback. And you lose Tyrann Mathieu. I think that's a major loss for Arizona. You look at Seattle, that's a football team right now just in flux. I mean, you got no clue of kind of where this is going to land because that great defense is gone. And it was one of the great defenses of the last 20 to 25 years in this league. That, you know, you could compare that team to the Ravens of the late 1990s, early 2000s, what we saw with the Steelers when they had their run. And then Seattle comes in. Man, I don't know if Russell Wilson survives unless they can give him some help up front. I think the 49ers are a good football team. I'm interested to see how well teams adjust with some film work now on Jimmy Garoppolo. And how that kind of works out for them. But I think they're really good. I think they're a pretty solid team there, too. I think they're probably a year away from being in that kind of clique to try to press the Rams a little bit. So I would say right now probably the Rams are the team out west because of the division they play. And but they all jumbled up. I think for the Saints, the big key is going to be how well you develop your defensive line. Because I think down the stretch, when you watch the Eagles, what kind of cut them above everyone else was the talent and the depth they had along the offensive and especially defensive line, where they had a seven-man rotation that was as good as you can get. You look at the Vikings today, you know, with Daniil Hunter, Everson Griffin, Linval Joseph, Sheldon Richardson. That's their four starters. That's pretty strong. You look out west with St. Louis. Michael Brockers, Ndamukong Suh, and the best defensive lineman in the game today in Aaron Donald. So I think for the Saints, I think it's going to be to try to develop that young talent that they have and invested a lot of early draft choices on the last few years with Sheldon Richardson and David Onyemata and Marcus Davenport and Trey Hendrickson, and to have those guys to be able to really have that real strong rotation that when you get in late December and January, all these meaningful games, that in the fourth quarter, I don't think anything wins more games in the fourth quarter than a pass rush, influencing the quarterback. And so to me, that I think that's the one thing I want to see from this football team, how well they can develop the young talent and also the depth, because when you look at it, you know, keeping four guys on the field like that, you got to be able to rotate. And you can't keep Cam Jordan on the field as much as they have been the last couple years. He's been an iron man out there.
I'm sorry, Mike.
And so I think you got to give him a little bit of a break now and then to sort of break that off. And also, hopefully, the healthy return of Alex Okafor, who we all agree, man, he was playing the best football of his NFL career before the Achilles injury.
Mike Dettillier, NFL analyst at Mike Dettillier on Twitter. We'll step away and come back with Mike Dettillier. You got a question for Mike when it comes to Saints training camp? Feel free at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. I've got a lot I want to pick Mike's brain about. Coming back after the break here on Sports Talk on WWL. All right, if you want to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Louisiana Sportsman Show, Deer Duck and Fishing Expo at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, July 20th through the 22nd, call 504-260-WINS. That's 260-9467. Right now, if you're the eighth caller, you win with WWL. Congratulations, Tyler Davis just won a family four-pack of tickets to the Louisiana Sportsman Show Deer, Duck, and Fishing Expo at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, July 20th through the 22nd. Listen to Sports Talk 4 to 8 p.m. again tomorrow for another chance to win. Tickets valued at $40. If you want to purchase tickets, go to LouisianaSportsmanShow.com right now. We're the station that loves Sportsman's Paradise, WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Mike Dettillier, NFL and college football analyst here on WWL. At Mike Dettillier on Twitter. Mike, let's go with the Saints in terms of, you know what you got from Drew Brees, obviously. Aside from Brees, what do you feel confident that you can hang your hat on with the Saints team?
I think I feel much more confident today than say a year ago at this time, Christian, with the balance in the running game. Because I think that was the key to their success offensively last year, with an offensive line that was 52 pickup, so to speak, every week. Mm-hmm. You had one guy down, somebody's swinging over, somebody's moving here, somebody's moving there. Then you had the injuries to Andrus. And so, you know, I feel pretty good about the fact that Sean Payton has shown some confidence in his running game and some patience that even at first, if it doesn't sort of work, that you don't go back to having Drew throwing the football 45 times a game. And sometimes you're going to have to do that to win. You're in a shootout game, and you're going to have it. But I thought last year, despite the fact their offensive line, you know, sustained all these injuries, and they were able to run the football for the second most yardage in the Peyton era. Only in 2011 did they run the football more than they did a year ago. And you just look at the balance that they had across the board here that you didn't see the last couple years. Okay, yes, they did, you know, they ran the football 444 times last year. But, you know, it to me, when you throw it 536, compare that 536, 444, man, that's the type of balance that you really would like offensively. It's not 50-50, but it's, you know, it's in that neighborhood of where that's what you want to do. And if you can keep your offensive line fairly healthy, I think the big thing to watch in preseason and in training camp is going to be the development of the young offensive linemen that we know that somewhere down the line are going to be called upon to play. We know what Bushrod can do because he's going to play the Calamente role. In essence, he can play guard and tackle. What's going to happen at the center position with Will Clapp, Cameron Tom?
Does Will Clapp make this team?
Well, let's see, because again, that's a high attrition mark. In fact, I was with a friend of mine who scouts in the NFL, and one of the things he's made a study of training camp injuries, offensive linemen get hurt more than any other spot. And so that's why you have to build some depth. At that spot, I think it would be a difficult thing for him to make the 53 if everybody's healthy. Okay, if we're talking about it now, because I think Cameron Tom's got the advantage on him right now. I want to see how much they work Tom in at the guard spot, because we know he's played center, and we know they like him a lot because the Redskins tried to grab him late and they protected him. How much does he spend some time at the guard position? And then again, what's going to happen with young man from Florida State and Reynolds? How well he can come along as an offensive lineman? Because, you know, it's just a sort of like a year and a half that he's played that spot. Christian, I think of all the positions offensively, that's the one that may be the most difficult cuts if there is no health issues, of how it sort of breaks down. And again, I bring up the Eagles last year. They lost their starting left tackle about midway into the season. Their starting right guard missed 6 games. That offense continued to roll. So that's why those guys are difficult to get. And when you start that countdown and you start cutting back, and how Josh fits in, because, again, you brought him back this year, and he's a center guard type guy. When you look at it, that's going to be tough for Will, unless there's an injury.
Mike Dettillier, NFL and college football analyst at Mike Dettillier on Twitter. Okay, so we talked about the offensive line. Steve Kort felt like, I talked to him at minicamp, he felt like, hey, there could be 7 or 8 starters along the offensive line. That's how deep they are there.
I don't know about 7 or 8 starters, but I think what you want is some quality depth that, you know, we know Bushrod has started before. So that gives you a 6th guy. And, you know, Josh has started before. So, you know, he hasn't been a full-time starter, but he has started games in the National Football League. Again, I think we're talking about with everybody clean now. There is no really injury part of this. And I always think that sort of makes a little bit of a cut on how we get down to that final 53. And it shakes out the depth. A lot of times, and Hank Stram used to always tell me this, I ain't never worried about having too much. I'm always worried about not having enough. And I think that's the case in the NFL is once you start this clip of 53 and everybody starts pulling a guy here and there and you get an injury in week 4, where are you going to find that guy that can come in and help you play? Every once in a while you can. But those lineman positions, offensive, defensive line, they're the hardest guys to get your hands on once that cut down starts and in the first couple weeks.
Mike Dettillier, NFL and college football analyst, counting you down to Saints training camp. Our Blue Runner food opinion poll question I want to ask to Mike. If you had to pick one, only one, college football or pro football, where are you going, Mike?
Oh, that's tough for me because I make my business, so to speak, on the college part, entering the pros. I would probably go the pro game. I'm going to go to professional game. I love college football. It's been something I'm enthralled with, but I'm going to go with the pro game.
Why is that?
I just think that you looking at the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know, in college football, when you watch a game, you know, sometimes you're watching 2 teams and you see a guy, you know, there are people out there that's not going to be able to play at the next level. Man, when you're playing in the pros, dude, you at Mount Everest of pro football, at football at any level. So that's why I would go there. I think the quality of the game.
Quality of the game. Also, I think the strategy is much different. And I talked about it earlier, Mike. One of the things that turns me off is the hash marks in college football, 40 feet apart compared to 18.5 in the NFL. I think that you're defending grass much more
so. You're defending air.
Yeah, you're defending space in college football than you are more so in the NFL, where you're just defending other men. There's not a whole lot of space, which I think is good, and that's what makes the game so clean, I think, at the NFL level and so precise, because obviously you got the world-class athletes that are playing it, the best of the best, but that's my biggest issue. Sports Talk rolls on after our CBS News update and local news headlines as well. Mike Dettillier joining us now here on Sports Talk on Twitter, at Mike Dettillier. Also, check him out, MikeDettillier.com. 504-260-1870, text 870-870. This is Saints Radio. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Mike Dettillier, NFL and college football analyst, at Mike Dettillier on Twitter. Mike, we were talking about the depth along the offensive line. If there's a hole on this team, or if there's, I guess, questions on this team, I don't know that I necessarily love the depth at the defensive line position.
No, listen, I think it's pretty good along the – but there's more question marks.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, than anything
It's not
else.
A solidified.
Yeah, and, you know, two guys I didn't bring up, two young guys, and I talked to Coach Nielsen about this when we had our offensive-defensive lineman camp at Nichols, and he brought up Mitchell Lowen, you know, because, you know, last year, you know, watching training camp early, there was one guy that was making plays, and it was Mitchell Lowen. And he was a guy that he played all over the board at Arkansas. He was a fullback, a tight end. He played defensive end, outside linebacker, defensive tackle. And it's interesting with him. He's a really good athlete, can play on special teams. He gave you some push, and he's a really good technician. I mean, you could see his leverage skills, his ability to use his arms and hands well. That's not natural. But he did a real good job of it. And also, Al Muhammad and how he'll develop this year. So you've got players there. The big thing is developing those guys. And I know one thing, Ryan's a terrific coach. Because I first met him through Coach O when mm-hmm. O was had him at USC. And he had told me, hey, listen, he's going to coach one day. He's going to be a great coach. Well, sure enough, O gets the job at Ole Miss. Defensive line coach, Ryan Nielsen. So I think that part for me is the development of those younger players and how quickly that comes together for the Saints. To me, the question mark about depth and talent, I would center it on tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a position in this offense and with Drew that has – he's taken that to another level. If it's been Jeremy Shockey, if it's been David Thomas, if Jimmy Graham, Ben Watson, how much production you're going to get out of that spot? Because I do think it was a part of why this team had been so good on third down for so many years, and then last year it wasn't there. That was a big part of why you brought in Cameron Meredith, a big, tall slot receiver that can maybe get you that third and six and go 8 yards with the catch. But I think if there's a question mark, talent and depth, it'll be a tight end. And, you know, listen, Ben Watson's unbelievable. You look at him today, he looks like he's 25 years old. But, eventually for the time, ding dings the bell somewhere. And he was productive last year. I think they're disappointed a little bit more in Josh Hill, that he hasn't stepped up his game a little bit more. And in the Who Man, you know, he's your designated blocker. And also he can help out when you don't have a fullback, he can use him there. I want to see Deion Yelder because he's intriguing to me, a one-year guy at Western Kentucky who had played a lot of special teams. So I know he can excel there, can catch the football really well. How well he can do on the blocking end remains to be seen. For Deion to make this team, he's got to have a big preseason catching the football. And also he's got to prove, hey, I'm one of the 11 on special teams that I can play those units. And he has. He was a very good special teams performer at Western Kentucky.
Mike, I was curious to know how you size this up. If I'm looking at this roster and go, all right, where's the toughest place to crack the roster? It's at wide receiver for me. I mean, they're loaded there, and in particular at linebacker.
Yeah, and you can sort of see that Mike likes the veteran linebacker. You know, a guy who's got, you know, a little bit of experience under his belt, so to speak. And so I would agree with that part, that linebacker position. And two, I think more and more today you're seeing less three linebacker sets and more three safety sets. So the linebacker got to come up. You got to match up. And if everybody's healthy, the two linebackers that are going to stay on the field is DeMario Davis and Alex Anzalone because they can cover. Now, Craig Robinson's a pretty good cover guy, but I think Anzalone can do it really well, too, if he can stay healthy. So my thing is safety position, too, is something to watch if you get a couple injuries there. Because this football team, along with many others in the NFL, they use a lot of three safety sets. And Coach Allen had told us last year, sort of numbers-wise, it's like 69% of the time he had three safeties on the field. So basically, you three quarters of a starter as that third safety. And I do think that is a part of the changing part of the NFL, trying to match up better downfield, if it's with a tight end, if it's with a back. The thing on offense I want to watch, and he caught a ton of passes last year, is Alvin Kamara. Because Alvin's a guy who caught 81 catches. A lot of people say, well, how can he improve on that? Christian, if you thought about this football team and the current players, what's the one guy you don't want to cover and have in coverage if you don't have a cornerback on him?
Alvin Kamara.
So how is some linebacker or some safety going to cover him?
Not going to happen.
I think that's the thing I'm interested to watch Sean, because I think he's one of the top two or three offensive coaches today in pro football. There's no question about it.
Mike, I mean, he's masterful at forcing those mismatches. I mean, remember when Darren Sproles and they had Jimmy Graham, they talked openly. Drew Brees talked openly about how basically having those two guys on the field at the same time, in particular Darren Sproles, it made defenses declare what kind of coverage they were in. It made it very clear to Brees what he was looking at because of the mismatch that they were trying to avoid.
I had an NFL player tell me, you know, the one guy who's made the difference is Michael Thomas. Because now you got to basically say, my best cover guy is got to go head up against Thomas. So what I do is, okay, if you're going to commit that guy to him, then I'm going to do something on the other side of the field. What's going to give me the biggest mismatch? Alvin, one-on-one downfield. And so, listen, they ain't a lot of safeties that can cover him. And there, the linebackers that can cover Alvin, you can put them on three fingers probably. There's not many that can keep up with him because he's so talented. And again, 81 catches is a ton of catches a year ago. But you look at that number and you say, that's the one number that could escalate pretty good, where he could be pressing the 100 mark as a receiver, because that gives you such a mismatch downfield when now Thomas, if you're a defensive team, you've got to commit your best cover guy to Mike. So now what you're going to do? You got some issues with that, and that's what opens up things for the other guys. If it's Ted Ginn Jr., if it's Traquan Smith, if it's Cameron Meredith, you got a lot of options here for Drew. And he basically kind of using that short throw to Alvin like an extended handoff.
Mike Dottiglia, NFL and college football analyst, coming back for Brother in Metairie. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, right back to the phone lines we go. Brother in Metairie, what's going on, brother? You're on WWL.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy? Long time no talk to. Hey, Mike.
We got Mike?
I didn't hear Mike.
All right.
I don't hear Mike.
Anyway, go ahead, brother.
Okay. If Mike can hear me, I don't know. I want to ask him about the Mark Ingram situation. I'd like to know, what does he think they're going to do to cover that up, and who he thinks they're going to be using in that spot to cover up? It's only 4 weeks, but who does he think they're going to use?
Brother, I'll ask Mike that. But if you want my answer to that, it's going to be, I feel like they signed Terrence West, a veteran guy off the street. I think they'll use him. Jonathan Williams also in the mix. I think Boston Scott can give you some carries. That'll shake out during training camp. But I think the winner ultimately is going to be a guy like Terrence West, a veteran. Sean Payton wants somebody he can trust. That's why, if you noticed, they went out and signed him, because Those are younger players that he's talking about. The guys I just talked about with Boston Scott and others, they're younger, unproven players. So he wants guys he can trust at that position in particular, because you're not just running the football. You're not just running routes out of the backfield. You're protecting your most valuable commodity on your team in Drew Brees and blitz pickups. So I think that it'll be a veteran that wins that job, and I think it's going to be Terrence West that ultimately spells Mark Ingram for four games.
That's what I wanted to know. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
All right, you bet. Trying to get Mike Dettillier back on the phone. Phone might have died. Who knows? We got Mike? All right, we'll get Mike Dettillier back in here. NFL draft analyst, NFL and college football analyst. Mike, lost you there for a second, but we had a caller, brother, wanted to know, who do you feel like is going to be the guy that spells Mark Ingram for four games while he serves the suspension?
Terrence West.
Yep.
That's just a gut feeling of mine. You know, you're not going to get anybody that's as good as Ingram, but you want somebody that can bring something similar. I've seen Terrence since he was in college, followed his career with Cleveland and doing stuff with the Titans. He did one bad thing. He put the ball on the ground there, and that he was to the back of the bus, and then he got cut loose. He goes to Baltimore, has a good 2016 season, and last year he got nicked up with injuries, but he brings you that power runner. He's aggressive, and he takes it to you. And he can catch your football pretty well coming out of the backfield, too. So I think Terrence is the guy that spells Mark for the first four games of the season. And I think he'll do a real good job at it. And it was so unusual because I hadn't seen Terrence put the ball on the ground. And yet it happened in Tennessee three different times. And after the third one, that was it. I knew they weren't going to put up with it out the door. And
well,
so,
Sean Payton's not – he doesn't put up with it either.
Well, nobody does, but they wanted Terrence to work because of the fact that, you know, they had DeMarco Murray, and they felt that 1-2 shot of giving you Murray and West would work tremendously well. And I think it would have had it not been for the fumbling issue, and then that's why they spent a second-round pick a year ago on Derrick Henry. And they got that rolling, and then now, you know, DeMarco was making a few dollars more than probably they wanted to pay him, and so he's looking around for a team. But I do think Terrence is the guy. Experience, his style
of play. That's it right there.
I think is all about it, and he's a real sharp guy. And he can catch the football coming out the backfield. So he gives you that for four games where you don't want to put all that on Alvin constantly or with that rushing game. And Terrence can take some of that, sort of speak, pressure away from him as being the guy. And let me tell you, they're going to like the way he runs the football. If he holds on to it, they're going to like his power skills between the tackles.
Mike, you talked about the experience. I think that was the biggest factor is those guys that were on this that are on this roster right now, Boston Scott, Jonathan Williams, and others, Daniel Lasco, they don't have – I think the Saints, and in particular Sean Payton, wants to know he can trust that running back and blitz pickup.
That's the key.
Because you're trying to protect your best asset.
That's the key. You got to have a guy, and it's not about always running the ball and catching it. It's about protecting that star quarterback because you got to do it. And it's something a lot of times when they come out of college, they're not used to. It's the biggest adjustment you make as a running back. And even Leonard Fournette told me this, that the one big adjustment from college football to the NFL was he was asked to block a lot more than he had ever been asked to pass protect at LSU. And so that is a part where Terrence has a huge edge, and we all know one thing. Everything starts with number 9, protecting him.
We'll wrap it up next. Step away and come back with Mike Dettillier, NFL and college football analyst. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Winding down with Mike Dettillier, at Mike Dettillier on Twitter, MikeDettillier.com, NFL and college football analyst. Mike, real quickly, previewing LSU fall camp. Who's gonna be their running backs? Who's going to be their skill guys, their receiver, their playmakers?
Well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be their starting running back. You know, they're going to play a lot of three wide receiver sets, two tight ends. Jonathan Giles is going to be one of those guys that you're going to hear a lot about. And also, too, Justin Jefferson. I'm just telling you, if there's a breakthrough guy on that football team, it's Jefferson. He is a big-time performer, and he works his tail off. And they got a ton of receivers there. So you're going to see a lot of them mixing and maxing coverages. But it's the first time in my memory – that they do not have, what you want to say is the stud back, is the guy that you can say he's the guy that's going to carry the rushing load for me. But I do think Chris Curry, the freshman, is going to see a lot of touches. I've talked to a couple of players that have watched him work out, and their deal is he's a man as an 18-year-old. So I think it's going to be interesting early of how quickly Joe Burrow can connect and have some rapport with his receivers. Their defensive line and linebacking core, Christian, is the best I've seen it in the last maybe 7 years. Talent and depth. They're that good. And if they can find himself another corner opposite Greedy, this is going to be a pretty nasty club on defense. But Burrow's got to come through for him. Cole Tracy has got to be their place kicker. He's got to be able to give him some consistency there. And they have to find a center that's going to take over and be the leader up front. I think that's critical for LSU, those three spots.
Over and under, according to Vegas, for LSU wins at 7. You taking the over or the under?
I'm going to go the over. I kind of have a feeling that this team, because of their defense, and if they can get out of the first three games 2-1, that they're going to give some teams some trouble. But again, it all hinges on Burrow and a place kicker. And Cole's got to be that guy for him. So I'm going to go with the over on that. I think that there was a lot of debate in Vegas because I have a friend of mine who's the chief odds maker for the win. He's from Thibodaux, Louisiana. And there was a lot of debate on where to go with that number because they know LSU is talented, but the schedule is brutal. But the one thing Ed has done, and he told me this the day after he took the job, he said, I got to rebuild my offensive and defensive lines. He said, I want quality talent and I want depth. I think that's where we have got to be able to close the gap on Alabama. And I think he's done that. He's not there yet. I think the 2019 club, man, they'll be pretty doggone good if Burrow becomes the guy at quarterback.
Yeah, look, that 2019 class is shaping up pretty well for LSU. The first three games, those are the pivotal ones. I mean, that's pretty much the season, if you will. At least two out of three. The opener against Miami and then Auburn 2 weeks later. If they can get to 2-1, I agree with you. You got a chance to win 9 games.
It's all chips in game one. Because Miami's a really good football team. And also, Christian, when you look at it, it's almost like you're looking at a mirror image of one another. Now, they have the more experienced quarterback. But when you look at how they play the game, the athletes, isn't Miami the closest thing you can say that looks like LSU? I mean, they have athletes just like what LSU has, and how that first game sort of settles out. And remember, Miami lost 3 starting defensive linemen early to the NFL. Now, their linebacking core is as good as anybody in college football, and their secondary is pretty good, too. But their defensive line has lost 3 starters, and those guys came out early. LSU's got to take advantage of that. That maybe the heat on the quarterback is not going to be there. So you know what? Burrow's got to make those throws. He's got to make them. And Archie Manning told me this. He said, Mike, there's 8 or 9 throws in every game that a quarterback has to hit on basically 90% of. He said, you know, you watch film and see these receivers running free downfield, and the quarterback either underthrows it or overthrows it. You got to make those big plays when you can and the third down conversions. And I think he's right. When you kind of cut it to those 8 or 9 plays that quarterback has to make, if it's 9, he's got to connect on 8 of them. You can't miss on a big opportunity, and especially in college football. When you watch film, good gracious, you got receivers and tight ends running free downfield because somebody made a mental mistake. You got to be able to pick that up and hit that guy in stride and you know, take it to the house.
NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier here on Sports Talk. We'll let you run, man. Thanks for spending the hour with us. Can't wait till training camp.
Thanks a lot, Christian. Appreciate it, bud.
You bet, Mike. At Mike Dettillier on Twitter, MikeDettillier.com. We're going to push out of here. No Seth Dunlap, no double coverage tonight. He's taking a little R&R, so NBC Sports up next. And look, it's been fun. Tomorrow, me and Deuce are going to go pretty heavy on the NBA in particular. They're thinking about reenacting a rule that they once had in place. It'll get rid of the one-and-done policy pretty much if it comes to fruition. But the NBA is going to allow or flirting with the idea of having high school seniors enter the draft. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. That could maybe get rid of the one-and-done rule that has been in place for a while that I did not like whatsoever. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about a senior in high school being able to go straight to the NBA. I know they can do it in pro baseball, et cetera. You get drafted out of high school, but I don't know. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Mark Menard at Master Control on the Sports Flash as well. Also, Stephen Geller for helping us put together the program. Great interaction on the text line and the phone lines as well. Hope everybody enjoys the rest of their Thursday night. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.